name's Adam Miller. I'm a graduate student from Purdue University, and this is my MS research, which involves evaluating some top dressing programs for three different cultivars of bankgrass. Top dressing is regularly applied to sand putting greens for organic matter management and to provide firm, smooth playing surfaces. Top dressing basically works as a dilution strategy to prevent layers of organic matter or thatch from building up, becoming too excessive in the upper root zone. The general rule of thumb with top dressing is to apply sand frequently enough during the growing season to match the amount of organic matter that's being accumulated by the grass. top dressing frequencies have been fairly well established for the older generation cultivars, but improvements in bankgrass breeding has resulted in, obviously, improvements in bankgrass quality, and thus some question marks have been raised as to how much top dressing is required for these new grasses. The high shoot density creeping bankgrass cultivars are commonly used on putting greens because they offer superior quality compared to older cultivars like Pancross. But at the same time, the top dressing requirements necessary to manage thatch in these grasses has been all that well documented. And there's field observations that suggest that perhaps more intensive top dressing practices are required for these grasses. When top dressing isn't performed frequently enough, it often can result in layering of organic matter, which particularly we see here in these two photos. These indicate that top dressing practices are potentially out of sync with the amount of thatch that's being accumulated, and this can lead to several issues with the increased levels of organic matter, most notably disease and pest activity, increased disease and pest activity, shallow rooting, poor soil air exchange, and perhaps restricted drainage, and softer surfaces that are more prone to scalping and other mechanical damages. So again, these are out of sync with what the grass is basically telling the turf manager. And this is something that could happen very easily with some of the high shoot density cultivars because they have the aggressive growth. And at the same time, they have that dense canopies which improve the overall quality and playability, but it's almost a double-edged sword because it could also lead to some problems with working some of the top dressing sands into that turf canopy. Now, in addition to applying top dressing frequently enough to match the amount of organic matter that's being accumulated, you want to make sure that you select the sand that is optimal for that root zone. We see here this sand is obviously not a good sand for top dressing. Too coarse or too fine of any particles can have serious long-term problems to the putting green root zone. A successful top dressing program really starts with selecting a particle size distribution of the sand that matches the existing root zone. For USGA putting greens, this is actually relatively easy if you just select a sand that meets the USGA specifications for root zone mix, which would require the majority of the particles to fall within the medium and coarse size range. But combinations of the high densities of some of the new grasses, ultra-low cutting heights that are being managed, and also a desire to have less surface disruption from sand particles remaining on the putting green, all are potential factors for persuading turf managers into switching to sands that perhaps have a little bit more of the fines. And the research has not really been conducted too thoroughly when comparing some of the sands using that are slightly finer than the existing root zone and the implications of that practice. So to fill in some of the gaps of the research and what is actually being maintained out on real golf courses, we developed some questions that we wanted to better understand at the conclusion of this study. First of all, do these high shoot density cultivars require more top dressing? Second, do regular fine sand applications cause long-term root zone performance issues, such as increased water holding capacity or poor infiltration? Next, does frequent top dressing have negative effects on some of the older cultivars out there? And finally, can you still have a high quality putting green without ever aerifying? Because that's certainly something that turf managers are trying to get away with. So those questions led us specifically into our research objectives, which were first to determine the top dressing requirements of three widely planted bankgrasses maintained under two nitrogen levels. Second, to monitor the long-term changes in root zone physical properties of a sand-based putting green that is receiving varying sand sizes for top dressing and varying application frequencies. And finally, to measure the effects of frequent top dressing in place of any hollow tine aerifications. The study design separated main plots in a randomized complete block with four replications, and the main plots separated thatch management programs. Subplots were completely randomized within the main plots and separated cultivar and nitrogen interactions. Thatch management programs included plots receiving hollow tine aerification plus either a seasonal top dressing or a frequent top dressing using either a medium coarse or a medium fine sand. And then the last thatch management program was frequent top dressing only with a medium coarse sand that never received aerification. Pan A4, L93, and Pancross were the creeping pancross cultivars chosen for this study based on their differences in shoot densities and their commonality on putting greens. And the annual nitrogen levels were 112 and 196 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per year. And this was to account for the varying nitrogen levels that are applied throughout our area. Nitrogen was applied in both a liquid and a granular formulation to emulate modern fertilization practices on putting greens, with roughly half the total nitrogen being applied in both treatments through a liquid formulation during the summer months. The original root zone sand, which was a medium coarse sand that met USGA root zone specifications, and a medium fine sand that did not meet USGA root zone specifications, were the sands that were selected for the top dressing in this study. A light rate of top dressing was applied with both sands every 7 to 10 days depending upon weather conditions, using a 1 meter wide drop spreader from 2005 to 2007. And brushing occurred immediately afterwards using a hand broom in two directions, pretty much what goes on most of the time with golf course practices. Hollowtine aerification and backfilling the holes with the appropriate sand sizes occurred in mid-April and mid-September of each year. This study included a couple different measurements. We separated them into two categories, functional and visual. Functional categories were surface organic matter, sand particle size distribution, volumetric moisture content, infiltration rate, surface hardness, tiller density, and ball roll distance. And the visual measurements were turf quality, canopy greenness, disease and moss incidence, and localized dry spot. In the interest of time, I'm only going to focus on the most important functional characteristics that we measured throughout this study. Before I dive too much into some of my results, I just want to get everyone acclimated, I guess, to some of my abbreviations, because it's Hollowtine aerification takes up a lot of space on a data table, so I had to shorten it. The HT stands for Hollowtine aerification plus either a seasonal top dressing or a frequent top dressing with a medium coarse sand or a medium fine sand. And then finally, this last program was frequent top dressing only with a medium coarse sand that never received any aerifications. Surface organic matter was measured in November of 2006 to a depth of 5.7 centimeters. Among top dressing programs, frequently top dressed only plots had the highest amount of organic matter among all management programs, although not significantly different from all management programs. Among cultivars, A4 and L93 had higher organic matter than Pancross, and high-end plots had higher organic matter than low-end plots. There were no cultivar by management program, nor cultivar by nitrogen regimes interactions. But to better understand this and to further investigate some of the amounts of organic matter that are being produced, a second organic matter measurement is going to be conducted shortly after these meetings. With the remaining sand after the organic matter was burnt off, we conducted a particle size analysis for every plot. Specifically, we see on the y-axis the percent retained of that's the sand, and then on the x-axis we see the sand sizes, silt, clay, all these things that are the sieve names. Specifically, we see here three thatch management programs, Hollowtine plus frequent and Hollowtine plus seasonal top dressing with fine sands, and the frequent top dress only, and they're compared to the USGA root zone specification maximum allowable values, and they're also compared to the original root zone particle size distribution. All these management programs meet USGA root zone specifications with the exception of one, which we see here in the fine sand category. As we zoom into the fine sand category, we can see this a little bit easier, that plots receiving Hollowtine aerification plus frequent top dressing with the fine sands no longer meet USGA root zone specifications. And at the same time, Hollowtine aerification plus seasonal top dressing with the fine sands are getting closer to the maximum allowable values for the fine sand category. Volumetric moisture content was measured periodically in 2006 and 2007 using a portable soil moisture probe equipped with time domain reflectometry. Plots receiving the Hollowtine aerification plus frequent top dressing with that fine sand held the most moisture of all management programs on all measurement dates. And this is likely a result of the addition of those fine sands is most likely increasing capillary pore space, which is increasing the water holding capacity. But to better understand this, we're going to actually conduct a porosity characteristics measurement and compare that with the original root zone. Infiltration rates were measured twice each year using a double ring infiltrometer. Plus receiving Hallowtine aerification plus frequent top dressing with the fine sands and frequent top dress only management programs had the slowest infiltration rates among all management programs in 3 of the 4 measurement dates. And it's also interesting to note that the infiltration rates all declined with time through all management programs, but they're all still well above USG root zone specification minimum values. Surface hardness was measured 3 times in 2006 and 6 times in 2007 using a clay soil impact tester. Among cultivars and annual nitrogen regimes, Pencross and low-end plots yielded the firmest surface, although they also had issues with turf quality, but I won't present that. Among the thatch management programs, plots receiving Hallowtine aerification plus frequent top dressing with the frequent fine sands had the softest surface of all management programs on all measurement dates. And again, this seems to correspond with the data that I just presented earlier, that these same plots are holding more moisture and they're also having slower infiltration rates among most of the management programs. Tiller density was measured periodically in each year as well. Cores were removed from the frequent top dress only management program to compare seasonal density variations of each cultivar when maintained under an intensive top dressing program. Significant reductions in tiller density of all cultivars was observed from the spring to the summer of each year because, again, these were maintained under a fairly intensive top dressing program. Specifically, Pencross at both nitrogen levels was the most affected, had the most reductions in tiller density. A4 and L93 were not as affected as Pencross when maintained under the higher nitrogen levels. But again, it didn't really matter all that much for Pencross whether it was maintained under the high or low nitrogen. It still had a lot of reductions in tiller density. Plots receiving fine sand for top dressing, frequent top dressing only, and seasonal top dressing plots all show signs of potential long-term problems in the future, mainly layering of either surface organic matter or the finer textured soils above the USG root zone. Significant changes in the particle size distribution seems to raise a red flag for concern because, again, this can lead to water to perch in the upper root zone and lead to restricted drainage and, again, that higher moisture at the surface. The layering of fine particles over the USG root zone in plots receiving the Hallowtine aerification plus frequent top dressing with fine sands seem to be experiencing just this. Again, the softer surfaces and the wetter surfaces. And eventually these plots are likely to be more susceptible to scalping and other mechanical damage. Also, increasing surface organic matter and decreasing infiltration rates in the frequent top dressing only and the seasonal top dressing plots is only likely to progress. If we think back to the some of the earlier questions that we developed, we can somewhat say that the plots or the high shoot density cultivars require more intensive top dressing to maintain surface firmness compared to some of the other cultivars. We can also say, based on all the fun I had counting tillers, that plots receiving the older cultivars receiving some of the intensive top dressing practices can have some reductions in tiller density. And as for the root zone performance issues, the jury is still somewhat out because not all of our soil particle analysis has been conducted, but I think the picture kind of speaks for itself when you can see the layering of fine sands over the existing root zone and then some of the layering of organic matter, both of which are likely increasing moisture retention and decreasing infiltration. I'd be happy to take any questions if we have any time for them.
Time for a question.
Yep, Frank.
So I'm looking at that spot.
Yep.
I don't have the core anymore. What do you
think? Well, that's actually probably not the best thing to not core anymore just based on that picture. But the thing that we're seeing is that so far, you know, they've only been established for 4 years. So you might almost be able to try to get away with it, but long term, when these plots are experiencing traffic and things like that, they're likely to lead to excessive levels of organic matter. Something also that we're seeing specifically with the frequent top dress only plots that I didn't present was that these plots have had more dollar spot than the aerified plots, and they've also had more localized dry spot than the aerified plots. So right now they're performing, I would say, adequately, but for the long term, I wouldn't suggest skipping aerifications.
Thank you.
Yep.
I think that's all the time we have.
Okay, thank you.